Inside and outside of our doors, the ongoing display of family violence and destruction has become an all-encompassing reality in which no solution is forthcoming and no end in sight. Preachers, philosophers, and great thinkers of our day are unsuccessful in offering a viable answer. In verse, it states that no viable solution will be effective. For this reason, I invite you to listen 60 minutes to bbsradio.com to Reverend Blake Carrington Johnson, experts in the field, pastors, ministers, and guests, who will pose sensible strategies and workable ideas to a problem that has plagued humanity since the dawn of time. And the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. Matthew 10:21. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace but a sword. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I come not to send peace but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foes shall be they of his own household. Matthew 10:34-36.
Welcome to the broadcast titled Ending Family Destruction. I'm Reverend Blake Carrington Johnson, your host, and I can be reached for comments at www.reverendblakejohnson.com or blakejohnson85@gmail.com. First of all, I'd like to give thanks to God Almighty, the focus of this show, the head of my life, and whose purpose of getting out positive and therapeutic and spiritual information is the first goal and mission of this program. I also like to thank Donald, the station manager and founder of BBS Network, who has given our show the opportunity to be heard worldwide thanks to internet technology. I'd like to thank my mother, Mary Ringo, for giving me the upbringing that has led me to a career of social work and ministry, and who I have modeled most of my life after. To my late father, George Johnson Sr., who is a solid foundation creator. He took care of 10 children and helped us all to be successful in life and his death. His death inspired me and all the children to just continue to help other folks. I'd like to first give the first thanks to my pastor, James Bronson, of the Democracy Missionary Baptist Church, and his wife. Also, Reverend Simpson, who's supposed to help me today, Reverend Davis, Deacon Taylor, and Sister Brother, and also all the members of our church who's really put a good effort towards welcoming me into their family. Also, my friend Willie Stewart, who's a social worker who aids in helping folks. Otis Hemberg of the Platters, who we're trying to put positive and spiritual music out there, and his wife Virginia, so we can let the world know what thus says the Lord in musical format. Thank you, Pastor Hoffman, also, of the Broadview Missionary Baptist Church, my first spiritual leader in God. God worked through you and helped my family to grow in the world. This enabled our community to become God-fearing and obedient to God's word. Thank you, Pastor Parker, the new pastor of Broadview Missionary Baptist Church, who is under the tutelage of God, and Pastor Hoffman has the task of taking Broadview Baptist Missionary Church and God's people to the next level. To Pastor Roar of the Alpha Missionary Baptist Church in Bolingbrook, Illinois, you've always been a strong and positive leader for all men, and who by example represent what God desires for all men in this world to do. I thank you because you took care of our community, children, families, and our church, and has shown me personally the way of a man by example, and has blessed our community with your efforts. You gave good service, and your commitment to God and his purpose was a cornerstone in Broadview Baptist Foundation. Thank you, Dr. Fowler of the Victory Missionary Baptist Church in Las Vegas, a man of vision, dreams, and a teacher, preacher, and a true visionary who also helped me to work on domestic violence and all the problems in the world today. Thank you, Major Pierce and Captain Pierce of the Salvation Army, for allowing me the opportunity to preach in the pulpit and to state what thus says the Lord to all the women and men in true need of a word. Thanks to all the pastors, ministers, deacons, mothers of the churches who continue to influence me in my life and whose names are too many, far too many to mention. Special thanks to all the professors at Seattle Central Community College who will assist my efforts in this show to uplift the fight for family and world peace. Thank you, Charles Jeffrey, Carl Livingston, Bob Rochelle, just everybody who's helped, Minister Williams, and many, many more once again. And last of all, I would like to thank a very special woman in my life, Ms. Scarum Johnson, who has aided and encouraged me often, has never been negative about God's plan in our life of service and helping others. I know I have not always been the perfect mate, but God has shown mercy on my shortcomings. And I pray that all the world understand that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Last of all, I must thank my brothers and sisters, my daughters, Cassandra, her husband, Tim, and little Timmy, Yvonne, Anita, Charmaine, and my stepson, Ahmed, my brother-in-law, Pastor Mitchell and Sister Mitchell of the Greater Light of Life Missionary Baptist Church in California. I love you all, and your family and our family is all truly best. I have also been blessed with some good friends and family in the ministry. Isaiah Aniston, Arthur Williams, George, Terry, Dunn, Millie Oyne is a minister in training, and so he's really making a contribution in understanding what God's word is all about. And Linda and Rosemary, and just many, many more. I rely on your support when things sometimes may not appear to be going in the right direction. You've helped me to encourage myself to carry on God's work in times of trouble and suffering. You helped me to remind that trouble don't last always. It's usually just for a season. And more than anything, it's not if trouble will come, it's when trouble should come. And when trouble should come, I know that my support is in place. The first goal of this program will be to open up all awareness of the forces that are destructive to our modern-day families. Topics such as domestic violence, substance abuse, world violence, relationship issues, youth violence, communication errors, and any issue that have led to the destruction of our families are all fair game for this show. We will also discuss solution-focused approaches, because too often many people talk about the problems until they're blue in the face. But the God I serve offers solutions from a spiritual perspective, a social, mental, and psychological perspective, and through problem-solving techniques that he has blessed mankind to utilize in the form of psychology, sociology, and all the other social sciences. Too often we have developed poor problem-solving skills, and this will be addressed often in every show with experienced therapists, doctors, professors, and ministers and pastors. We will all also have future music that will uplift the human condition from artists and choirs. I would like to begin this first show with a speech previously given on Power 88 in Las Vegas, Nevada, about 5 years ago, titled State of Our Society. Take a good look at our society, both locally and globally. Many of our youth roam the streets and are involved in sex, prostitution, drugs, violence, and hopelessness, thinking that these things have no real effect in their lives or outcomes. Crime without real punishment. Most of our youth have become violent and deadly. They don't have any fear of being locked up or killed until it's too late. An uncaring civilization without knowledge of God, self, family, or other people's existence. Many of the adults in our society are using every type of mind-altering drugs and alcohol imagined. In addition, they are engaged in a high rate of domestic violence, gambling, adultery, homosexual behaviors, and fornication. Many of our parents are always away from home, and they barely spend any quality time with their children. They put the responsibility of raising their children totally in the hands of others. Then they wonder why children are making all these bad decisions in their lives. This is the future of our children in this century and decade, and the direction of our families and mankind, according to God's word. Many people think that hatred, selfishness, and evil will go unpunished. this is really an important fact that most people really need to understand. The evil rulers of this world has applied every method possible to deceive its occupants, each time with a greater success than anticipated. But no more. This millennium, God will begin to overcome this evil. Many other missionaries, pastors, and myself represent the truth by showing love to all of God's people of the world as taught by Jesus Christ. The lie? That's what the devil's all about. The truth is, we all play a grave role in our own destruction. The love of money, drugs, sex, our egos, and lifestyles, things that people value and hold and cover so dearly, gives the world the power to remove us from the light and becomes the base that separates us from God and the highest power. Through the love of His Word, God gives me hope. His inspired Word tells me this is true. Those that fear my purpose lie and try to destroy my character. But when is the truth ever safe from lies and deception? The path that people take when they oppose the real truth is not of God. However, Dr. Martin Luther King stated that before we condemn them, let us see that we all have the drum major instinct. We all have the need to feel important, to achieve distinction, to lead the parade. But this perverted use of the drum major instinct today is causing men today to say our religion is right and we are God, and our race must rule the world. This form of selfishness has emerged as a common thought process in most people in the world today and has evaporated the milk of human kindness. This same type of selfishness that appeared in Sodom and Gomorrah led to a great outcry. Because of the grievous sin and the selfish nature of man, God rained down burning sulfur and brimstone. This city was totally destroyed. Iran, Iraq, Las Vegas, Seattle, and other cities around the world have become modern-day versions of Sodom and Gomorrah. Many people then and now felt that sin had no true consequences, and being wicked and ungodly had no true effect in the world or the afterlife. The gospel all states that those that are last shall be first, and those that are first shall be last. So we ask God this prayer. Help us, Lord, to promote a society of good problem solvers and thinkers so that drugs, domestic violence, selfishness, hopelessness do not cause our families to become suicidal and hopeless. Help every woman and man to think about others. Stop thinking about just their feelings. This will reduce the mortality rate in our children. Help us all, Lord, to have a true communitarian perspective in our government and respect for everyone in the world and their individual rights. A government that will ensure that preservations of our individual liberties and respect are protected. Help us reduce the dictatorship and attitude that the majority of our institutions utilize. To America and our allies with the power comes responsibilities of love, protection of all citizens, and even the least in our society. This type of society will teach individuals to respect others as well as self-respect. And most of all, Lord, teach us to put our family first and stop the family destruction between fathers and sons, mothers against daughters, husbands against wives, neighbor against neighbor, and all forms of family destruction. From the beginning of mankind in Ethiopian society, present European-American dominated society, war and violence has been a constant reality since its norm. Selfishness has constantly been a theme in America since its origin in the construction of slavery. Our founding fathers separated from England in order to have a government that will believe in fairness of people's individual freedom. While there has been hypocrisy in our government, there's also been many men and women who fought and died for freedom and allow God's truth to reign supreme in their lives and help the less fortunate in our society. But the concept still remains. The good of the whole is more important than the minority and the rights of the poverty stricken and the least in our society. Dr. Peltner, professor at UNLV School of Social Work, has written books such as Reasons of Poverty and The Psychology of the Nonviolence, which demonstrates how the poor whites and the minority have become victims of the system due to their poverty and inability to maintain proper living conditions. He stated that this gives the majority the power to charge less fortunate people with abuse and neglect, and this gives them a license to destroy and systematically take and dissimulate and disassemble families. His work and books and instructions have taught me firsthand that God can use anyone to help struggling people, no matter what their background may be or where their socioeconomic status may fall. And I really love you, Dr. Pelton. And I often saw your frustrations with the system, and I've seen at times you felt that your fight was futile. But continue your good work. If you help one, you have changed many through that one, much like you have helped me to see the fight, and I go to the world. In our society, being a spiritual person means that one's value lines up with one's action and character in a positive way. But selfishness has placed the emphasis on the me, myself, and I. The world has now entered the 21st century and has now begun to feel the heat from the flames of the centuries of evil and deception that has been burning since the beginning of the Garden of Eden and the fall of man. And although we have sinned and defiled your commandments, you have given us hope, Lord, in your word. When you declare in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, your words, which read, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn away from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sins and will heal their land." It further gives me hope, Lord, that knowing sometimes the road gets tough and the trail gets muddy, but you also said in your word that if you believe in Christ, then seek those things which are above. Set your mind, set your affection to things that are above. If you have accepted Christ and you are a born-again believer and a part of the body of Christ, remember, as he was raised, you are raised into the kingdom of God and enter into the body also. I want to thank you all for tuning into the first part of my show, The Speech, The State of Our Society, and the voice of one crying in the wilderness, "Make straight the way of the Lord." Now I just want to go into a couple of topics today. I'm going to have time to open up the lines and just do a couple of things differently for this show versus some of the other shows. In the future, I shall be on station 3, and that's Saturday and Sunday, starting this Saturday and Sunday at 5 o'clock, and you can tune in to that show as well, which will give more detail into some of the areas in which I'm going to be talking about. But for today, the first part of the show, we're going to be talking about different aspects of relationships and really the problems that plague our society before I open up the lines. So let me begin, first of all, by saying there is good relationships and bad relationships. And most of the good relationships have some common factors that you must look at if you're going to be successful in your relationships today. So I just want to talk about a few that I'm going to open up the line. You can look on your web to see the address, our phone number. But let's just say the first area which I want to talk about is a good relationship is one where intimacy develops slowly from a friendship to a commitment. You participate with a person who's capable of feeling intimate relationship. He or she does not have deep emotional scars from their childhood or previous relationship. He or she is capable of trusting and being trusted. Now, this is the first point, and the reason I brought this up because the first point is that most of the time in relationships, we tend to rush right in because of the external attraction, not because we get to know a person. Because if we was to get to know a person, many times we would think twice about the outcomes, about even considering going further. But because of our mind and we are visual people, what we see, we tend to be attracted to versus what we feel inside. And often what we feel inside can even be dictated by what we see. The mind and the eyes are powerful things. One of the aspects that I expressed on this first part of the show is that when people have deep emotional scars, those are problematic because many times people hold on to those scars and then they get involved with other people and those scars begin to come out and dictate the relationship. If you have deep emotional scars, really what you need to do is start getting some help. you need to start using the whole person concept and try to repair what's going on. Now, you can't repair yourself what's happening. You're going to need some forces to deal with all the aspects, because you could have a mental issue, in which that case you may need counseling or medication or both. You may have a physical issue, in which that case you need to possibly get some kind of treatment or therapeutic help as well. Most people tend to suffer from a spiritual deficit, and that's where the focus of this show is going to be, and all the shows that I do, is that without that spiritual deficit addressed, most people tend to have ongoing problems in relationships. And then generally you keep going back into the same type of relationship, because if you don't work on your spiritualness, how are you going to ask someone else to be in order in that area? That's a very important issue. And it also leads into trusting. How can you trust someone who don't really trust themselves? And furthermore, if they don't trust themselves, what are they doing that leads you to believe that? So that's one of the first issues that we talk about when we talk about relationship counseling. At my agency that I work with, it takes a village. That's one of the main factors with dealing with relationships with domestic violence, because most of the guys there feel like they should have trust earned, but they've already violated their partners. And I explain to them that you can't say that you've changed. You have to live the life, and that generally takes time, and you have to watch what comes out of your mouth, because what comes out of your mouth will always be the factors of your honesty. And if you're not honest, then you're still in your addiction, whatever it may be, whether it be abuse or drugs, alcohol, whatever. You're still in your addiction if you're not an honest person. Number two, a good relationship is one that's based on a commitment. You feel secure about the future in your relationship. There's no confusion or fear of abandonment. You don't have to cling to a person in your life fearing that they're going to pull away. Basically, you're relaxed and you're not anxious about losing that person. Because what happens when that occurs is that you begin to pressure that person about all the events of their day, and they begin to get frustrated with you. And many times, the person who's doing the pressuring is the one that's not being honest in the relationship to begin with. So that's number two factor to think about, and it's very important to evaluate those things closely. Number three, a good relationship is one where two people do not need each other. Oh, that sounds harsh. They don't need each other, huh? They're already individually strong, and this just enhances their life. There's a constant sharing of pleasurable activities. You are not constantly disappointed or irritated by the person's destructive behaviors, such as alcoholism, affairs, drug abuse, or physical violence. So this number three is such an important issue with today is domestic violence, because right now domestic violence arrests are up at an all-time high. There's so much domestic violence between relationships because of the problems in the world. We bring them home, and because our partner is so close to us, and they usually are saying things that they know at times can hit a button, we react, and then we do something we can never take back. Because once you commit domestic violence, I can tell you this, that there's a good chance that that relationship may never recover. That's a destructive behavior. And when you have those kind of things, then there's going to be a problem. And if you have problems also with drugs and alcohol, of course that's destructive, because I want to tell you one thing, that you cannot enable a person and then thinking that you're helping them, and you're not even a therapist. Even therapists struggle, because we need God to intervene and help us do what we have to do, because if a person is not ready to make that commitment to recovery, there's nothing I can do for them at all. And I do the best I can, but that's very limited if that's going to be the case. Number four, a good relationship is a partnership. You know, it's based on friendship and respect. Your partner is your good friend, and they should encourage you to do your best. And no one needs to act superior over the other. No one needs to beg or plead to get their needs met. And nowadays, since a lot of people have children, if you are arguing about how you raise your kids, you can't collaborate, you can't negotiate with the other person. Nowadays, that's going to be very, very problemsome. That's a good factor to keep in mind, that you must be on the same page. Otherwise, children will manipulate adults, which they're doing like crazy. That's what my speech was about earlier when I was saying that children are just running wild and doing the things that they want to do. Number five, a good relationship is one where true intimacy and revealing and sharing of yourself is constant, and a person needs to be able to share the truth about yourself, because that would develop trust. And then you need to care about the other person's welfare and happiness. You need to be open with your needs, because if you don't get your needs met, you know what generally happens is in most relationships you go out and you get your needs met elsewhere. You like to be getting your needs met, but you also want to be listened to. And too often when we're talking with our partners, what tends to happen is that we don't listen. We set up a response before they even finish their sentence. And this causes lots of problems in relationships. So people need to be listened to. And you know, if you don't have time to talk to that person, just tell them you don't have time to talk, you know, and this is not a good time, because otherwise you're going to be rude. And generally what that's going to do is make you develop some resentment about your partner. Number six is, a good relationship is one where two individuals can resolve conflict in a peaceful manner. Feelings can be openly expressed. Conflicts can be resolved by a compatible agreement. You know, there's no right or wrong, and a person agrees that even if it doesn't work out right, that you can come back to the table and start over with that process again. That tends to make relationships a lot more sturdier and stable, and especially in long-term relationships. Number seven, a good relationship is one where both individuals see themselves as partners. We talked about that there's good communication. There's feeling of closeness and joy. Now, even though I say this about closeness and joy, only God can give you joy. We cannot give ourselves joy, but we can try to be as close as we can to our partners, hoping that the Spirit of God allows us to enjoy some joy as well. Both partners need to believe that they can gain far more from remembering their agreements and your commitments, and there's no need to dominate or compete with each other. The last part is really problematic in most of my clients, because most of my clients are in competition with each other. Both parties want to prove or outprove the other all the time. And, you know, this world is tough enough than to be competing against your partner, when really what you need to be doing is working together and just basically trying to uplift each other to the next level. Two more, and then I'm going to start taking calls. A good relationship is one where two people can maintain enthusiasm about other people's hobbies, work, and friends. You can focus on your daily lives and the needs of your children. That's important, because when you got children, if you can't have some time for yourself and your children, they tend to have problems putting things together, and then the children get in the middle of a mess. And that's pretty much the common problem with most families, that you can't balance out the two. And the last one I want to talk about, and then the call line will be open for calls, is that a good relationship is one where each partner has a circle of friends and interests outside the relationship, and you're not isolated. Isolation seems to be one of the main problems today that has affected many of us. The more we're isolated, the more we're limited in our communication, and then we have this internal thought process that's pretty negative about either our mate or the world, because we're secluded in a world that's not including anyone, especially if you're isolated from God and church. The spiritual community is one of the most important entities that you can have in your life to help you not just be saved, but deal with issues that's going to affect your life on a daily basis. So at this time, I want to open up the call line for anyone who wants to call in and comment on any of these topics. And in the meanwhile, just to continue onward with my next topic, but the call line is open at this time, so feel free to call in and make any comments or suggestions about the things that we just spoke of. These are just basic issues about relationships. They're nothing detailed or in great detail. Those kind of things I do in my therapy sessions, but for the purpose of radio and just educating, I'm just keeping it down to the basic fundamentals. So once again, feel free. And if the line's not open, I'm going to go on to the next topic. But at this point, you can call in throughout the show. Feel free to call in, because that's important. Definitely important. All right. Now I want to go over the six stages of love. The six stages of love is something that I worked on while I was in school. And basically, it helped us to get an understanding of basically how, when we meet someone, what tend to go wrong and what affects relationships in that way. Together with what's a good relationship, they kind of have a mutual relationship, and in that, by understanding these things, then you can better yourself in preparation for that. So let's talk about the first stage, attraction. Attraction is very unique stage, because there's different types of attraction. First of all, as we all know, the most common attraction that everybody knows is physical, because we are people who are a sight. Many of us don't have a great deal of faith in spiritual and emotional, because we just see what we see, and we call that reality. So that's the most common form of relationships, attraction. And then, of course, there's sexual. You know, so we look at the person, and externally we see what we like, and we say, this is good. I like this. That tends to move along and help the situation to get to the next level. For many of us, we don't look any further than that. You can fall in love with people at love sight, what you believe is love. Spiritually and emotionally as well. The thing I like about those two types of attractions is that they usually contain getting to know someone and some information about something of their internal character. So those things are very, very important to understand as well. The next stage is early commitment. This stage is unique because although it's not a true commitment, more information is needed about the person in order to proceed onward in the relationship. This is generally, say you meet someone physically and sexually and you say, wow, you're nice. And before, what happens nowadays is we find ourselves physically involved with someone without knowing their character, which brings me quickly to the third stage, which is identity emerging. This is a very important stage, because after you went through attraction and then you went to early commitment, what happens next is that you tend to want to get to know the person. If you didn't do this in the right order, then you're going to have a lot of problems. But had you done it in the right order, the things that you should do first, then what this will do is this gives you a chance to really watch and observe the person in which you are planning to be with, hopefully. This will help the relationship to grow. Is if you can be yourself, let your hair down, so to say, and then you can observe characteristics about the person. One of my pastors in Vegas always said that one of the things you should do, Blake, when you meet someone is see if you can go around their family and see how they treat their family members. Because if they mistreat their family members, they will probably mistreat you over the littlest of issues. So, and that's family. So generally, you treat your family better than you treat an outsider. But if they're treating the outsider, if they're treating the family better already, then you already know that you have a good chance of having a good relationship. So watching and getting to know that person is good. And one of the things you'll find out that when you get to know the person, you end up in conflict and resolution, which is the next stage. Now, this is where, because you have begun to be yourself, you start to see things and characteristics about getting your needs met that's problematic. This is very important, because at this point, as I talked about what's a good relationship in my earlier part of the show, if you cannot learn to resolve disagreements, the conflict resolution stage for most couples is where they break up. If you don't skip any stages, that's usually where you find you can or cannot agree to disagree, basically. But if you can make it through that stage, then what will happen is that you will eventually work your way to a commitment. Now, this means the relationship is official. You know, that's my girl, that's my man, you know, that's, you know, sometimes this, and most of the time if you do it right, this should lead to a commitment of marriage, engagement, you know, a more serious commitment, and one in which that you're talking now about spending your future with this person. That's very important, and because if you're going to get to know the person and go through the stages eventually, especially if you're getting older. Sometimes I see when you're younger, you're not willing to make a commitment at that level. But even if you're going to plan on getting involved, the Bible says this, and I really believe this, that it's better to marry than to burn. So that is something that you must always consider, that it is much better to marry than burn. And that's something to keep in common. But if you do well in this commitment stage, the sixth and most important stage is ethical love. I talked about ethical love when I was talking about what's in a good relationship, when I say that you're willing to help that person become their best, and that person is willing to help you to become your best. If you're not willing to do those type of things, then it's a good chance that you shouldn't be involved in that relationship. Because I don't want to be with somebody who doesn't look after my best interest, and vice versa. What kind of relationship is that we're having if we can't look at those things? For me, and one of the things that I believe that is a reflection of a good relationship, in addition to those things, is making sure that person is grounded in the spirit. I'm a man of God, and being a minister, I believe that if you're not in the will of God, then we're going to be unevenly yoked. Too often in relationship, one person's going to church, the other one's going to the club. If you're going to the club the night before, chances are, a lot of times, your mind will not be into church the next day. Because a lot of times, you're not coming home to 2 or 3 in the morning, and church generally starts early. And then, a lot of times, you're drinking and using and doing all the things of the world. And to me, you cannot please two masters. The Bible even says that you cannot please two masters, because you will hate one and love the other, or love the other one and hate the other. You can't just be on both sides of the platform. What I recommend people to do is to learn about relationships by learning about wisdom, because wisdom is really the key for most things. And see, the problem is, things will happen in life that will challenge you to do the right thing. Either you're going to do the right thing when those happen, or you're going to basically just be out there in turmoil, and your life is going to be in turmoil. What I like to encourage new believers in God, or people who are trying to seek those things which are above, is that generally when they do like little small Bibles, they give you Psalms, Proverbs, and the New Testament. Well, you say, why would they give you Psalms, Proverbs, and the New Testament? Is any of the books in the old books, the Old Testament, the Torah, any good? Yes, those are good. But in understanding wisdom, praise, and worship, and understanding whom God is, whose Son Jesus is, and the coming of Christ, then the most important aspect that you really need to understand as a new believer is to have some wisdom, is to have some praise and worship, and to have the knowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord. If you do not understand those concepts, you've already set yourself up for failure. For you new believers, I just really want you to take a good look, and I'm going to read some stuff here to really put some good understanding about knowledge. Because knowledge is just one of those things that if you don't have, when the trouble comes, you're going to wish you did have it. Let's start with Book of Proverbs, the second chapter. It says, my son, if you accept my word and store up my commandments with you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, and if you call for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and then if you look for it as silver and search for it as hidden treasure, when you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. See, that's the first key, is that you have to search for it. Many times people are so spoiled these days, they're used to everything being given to them. You know, and that's half the problem, is when you think everything should be given to you. I want to skip over to the third chapter and just get some understanding about wisdom as well. My son, do not forget my teachings, but keep my commandments in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you, and bind them to your neck and write them on the tablets of your heart. See, you need to have that understanding that even in my unconscious or subconscious mind, that those rules that God has asked me in terms of wisdom is important. And that no matter what, I'm going to follow those things on an automatic format, knowing that they will keep me safe. It says, then you will win favor in a good name in the sight of God and man. But he also says this, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to the body and nourishment to your bones. I just want to say that if you can learn to just put this in your heart, a lot of the problems that people are having today with family destruction comes because they do not seek after wisdom. Especially younger folks, there's not much you can tell a lot of younger folks, because when I'm counseling younger folks, one of their famous lines to me is, been there and done it. Yeah, that's what they want to tell me, been there and done it. And I'm quick to say, you ain't been nowhere and you ain't done nothing. Because if you've been there and done it, chances are you might be 60 under, locked in prison or something like that. Or if you're fortunate enough to be out, then your path is leading to destruction. It's just a matter of time now, because you have exercised the fact that you're no longer going to believe. And, you know, it's really weird, because people who are serving God sometimes feel that God has abandoned them, and a lot of times they're saying, Lord, since I become saved and I've tried to follow your words and your wisdom in the book of Proverbs, nothing but trouble has come. But that's not always the case. It just seems like that's the case, because you are going through something. But like I said earlier, most times trouble, it's just for a season. And while you're going through something, you are building something above. You are setting up your treasures in heaven. The Bible says, set your treasures where mouse and insects and bees cannot get to it and just tear it up. You can't put your stuff out there and then expect it not to be trampled over. You know? Because people have their own perspective of other folks. People don't always care about other folks. And if we start getting distracted and destroyed and making ourselves into victims, then what's going to happen is that we're going to become resentful towards God. I want to say that again. If we continue to get upset with what the world is happening, what's happening to us in the world, we're going to be upset with God. And what that tends to do is that once we become upset with God, we tend to start saying, okay, well, God don't care about me, and I don't care about me, and we don't think about consequences until they're too late. In my speech, I stressed about that. Many of the young folks don't think about anything until it's too late. Look at the ones doing the shooting, and then they find themselves in the corner, and then they say, well, it's hopeless now. I might as well just shoot myself. And that's why they end up most times in those situations killing themselves as well, because they don't want to face the consequences. Little do they know that once they shoot themselves, they're already facing the consequences. They've sentenced themselves to internal damnation, you know. So that right there is faith in the music. You think you've, by committing suicide, you put yourself in a better world. But once you've done that, you've locked yourself into a place that you cannot have any power or chance to get out of. At least if you are alive, if you're here on the planet, you have the opportunity to change. That's what the focus of this show is. I want to help people get the opportunity to change. Because without that opportunity, you will never, ever, ever change. And God gives us that. See, the thing about God is that he makes sure that he sent us a savior, because he know that by our own faith and by our own will, we're limited. He had to send a part of him for us to come through. That's what the New Testament is all about. The Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in the New Testament, stresses the fact that the only way to God is His Son, which is the essence of Himself. You have to come up through the Son as a believer to get to the Father. Without getting through the Son, you will never get through the Father. And a lot of people do not want to accept Christ. I deal with Muslims all the time, and while I don't force my opinions on them in a therapeutic sense, because that's not right, but if I can, if I catch them on the street or something, and they're talking to me about, you know, Muhammad and all this other stuff, and same thing with Catholics, if they're talking about a man, the only true man that I want to follow after is Christ. Now, true enough, Christ does work through people. He's working through my minister. Reverend Broughton is an excellent minister, and I just want to thank him for his views and his guiding from the Bible. He is a Bible believer minister that believes that the Word is infallible and the Bible is infallible, and I agree with that opinion 100%, is that when we have all this information, why do we put ourselves through unnecessary suffering? You know, generally, when there's suffering, there's a hint when there's excessive suffering that something is going the wrong direction. Now, you can have suffering that's a season, that's one thing, but when it's constant and there's no signs of relief, that means chances are we have turned our eyes away from God, because God has already made a way for us to deal with our suffering. All we have to do as believers is to believe that God is who He said He is. In relationships and destructiveness, I find out the reason why we don't believe most of the time is because we're so overwhelmed, and the deception of the devil is very good at what he does. You know, he has a way of making us believe that we're never going to change. We're never going to get out of the rut we're in. I try to stay away from those kind of folks that want to remind me of my past, because, as I said earlier, all men have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and I'm no different. I'm sure I did many types of sins. Maybe I might believe that my sins are not as bad as others, but the Bible said that sin is sin, and when we look at other people's sin, then we become a Pharisee. I do not want to be a Pharisee or a Sadducee. I want to tell the Lord that I need help too. And even though I'm in the ministry and I'm in the pulpit, I realize that without His instruction, without His grace and mercy, I wouldn't be nowhere. And that's the wonderful thing about this show. From henceforth, the show will be airing Saturday and Sunday, 5 o'clock next week. That will be at on station 3, and we will address all of those issues that we are not able to really address in this live show. But those shows should help us to better understand some methodology into a higher level, because they will be greatly detailed and oriented, and I'll have many helpers, ministers, therapists that's going to give their perspective on those angles as to solutions. Because if we always cry about problems and we never talk about solutions, then what's going to happen is that we're going to be focused on the negative. And if you're focused on the negative, I cannot hang around you. Because, see, negativity rubs off on people, and then you become what we call in domestic violence, you develop a victim stance. When you have a victim stance, all you're doing are blaming and complaining, and that's also a sign of emotional immaturity. If you want to be a mature person in God, you must learn not to blame others. Instead, when there's a problem, the first thing you must do is look within yourself. That's what Proverbs is talking about, is wisdom. It's saying, straighten out your own self. Take the wood out your own eye before you begin to look at others and keep blaming them for your problems. Those are important. And keep those things in mind, those concepts. And we should develop this language and dialogue further in the future shows. So once again, I want to encourage you to tune in next week and Saturday also for the other show. They will come on Saturday, and this next show is on Channel 3. So I'll be going back and forth between Channel 3 and 1. Look into the website and check out the information, and that will give you more update on the Schedule 3 and Schedule 1. And if you have any questions or problems or anything you want to contact me, feel free to make comments about the show. It's just starting, and I pray that the Lord put his touch on this show, and that each show I become more and more comfortable with dealing with not having an audience in front of me, for one. But at times I will have several helpers that's going to display what thus says the Lord, and from a therapeutic perspective, some therapist that's willing to dig deep down inside and to tell you their psychological perspective as well. So I need you guys to have faith and pray and help me to help you in this show. And I need my fellow professors at Seattle Central Community College to go ahead and to for us to put our heads together. We're going to have a couple of round tables, and we're going to really try to dig deep down in the show so that we can get the perspective that's going to help us solve problems. Now, ultimately, it's going to be you that have to work these techniques. The techniques that we show you will vary from all types of behaviors, but if you take the proper steps, and if you need more information, like the written version of the Pass Out, which I give when I do my lectures and sermons and things when I do my workshops, I have those available as well. And pretty soon you'll be able to download all this information from my website as well, especially for the pre-recorded, because those are carefully articulated with experts in the field. So their schedule doesn't allow them to come live with me, especially on Sundays, but nonetheless, I feel that their participation in helping your needs to be met and the knowledge to be given will help you reach the next level. And furthermore, I want to also hopefully invite my show, my church, the Democus Missionary Baptist Church and Alpha Missionary Baptist Church in Chicago, to join in on our shows and become a part of our family. The BBS family is a good family. Don is an excellent station manager and owner, and we're going to get the information out there that's going to make significant changes if people decide to accept what's there. Now, even though it's there, you don't have to accept it, but the fact that it is there, we should make every effort possible to achieve this information and utilize it. It's one thing to have information, it's another thing to actually live by it. So on this last note, I just want to leave with a prayer. Heavenly Father, just thank you for this first show and the opportunity to be heard. And as we continue to go forward in your mission, and we ask that you put your hand and your stamp of approval on this show. We know without you, this show is useless, and I'm useless. And so I know that without you, I stand not a chance of helping, not even myself. So give us the strength and those helpers who you have sent to help me and assist me to help this show reach its fullest potential as we address every issue, from parenting, sexual issues, every issue that puts a wall between you and us. We give you thanks, Lord, because we know that you are the one and only true God, and we thank you, and we look forward to all the listeners who will be tuning in the future. So thank you very much once again for tuning in to bbsradio.com, and please come back again and check out the websites and tune in on further show information. So thank you all, and do have a lovely, lovely evening. Good night.